The author of the Epistle to the Hebrews is not named, so this great letter, inspired by God, remains anonymous. The contents of the epistle reveal that it was addressed principally to Jewish believers. It was probably written sometime between AD 65 and 68. The letter meets an essential need of that time by showing the relationship of Christianity to Judaism and the superiority of the new covenant in Christ to the old Mosaic covenant. It is addressed to Hebrew believers who, probably because of persecution, were not progressing in their faith and had remained spiritual infants. Discouraged, they had lost their zeal for Christ and were tempted to go back to Judaism. The purpose of the letter was to encourage and comfort them by showing the perfection of the redeeming work of Christ and to warn against the dangers of turning back. "Brothers," the author writes at the end of the epistle, "I urge you to listen patiently to this message of encouragement, for I have written you only a short letter." In order to strengthen the faith of these Christians who were falling away, the author shows up the infinite value of the person and work of Jesus Christ. He compares the new covenant of grace, of which Christ is the mediator, with the sacrificial system of the old Mosaic covenant. Jesus and his redemptive work on the cross are not only infinitely superior to the Levitical priesthood and the law of Moses, but are in fact the fulfillment of that Old Testament system. Christ is the perfect high priest, offering the perfect sacrifice for a perfect salvation. As Christ is the mediator of a better covenant, the author begins his letter by showing the Lord's unrivaled superiority over every other mediator. In Christ, it is God himself who is revealed to man. "In the past," says the writer, "God spoke to our forefathers through prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact image of God's person, upholding all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven." The writer goes on to prove that Christ is in every way superior to the angels, who had often been mediators of divine revelation in God's dealings with Israel. He does this by quotations and prophecies taken from the Old Testament, where Christ appears in his divine nature as the Son of God, who is adored by the angels, who is the sovereign ruler of an everlasting kingdom of righteousness, the creator of the heavens and the earth, and the overcomer of all his enemies. God never spoke about angels in such a way. Instead, he speaks of them as servants or ministering spirits sent to help those who are to inherit salvation. "We ought to pay all the more attention," says the writer, "to the truths we have heard, lest by ignoring such a great salvation we drift away to eternal judgment." This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord himself, was confirmed by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs and wonders, and by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Then the author deals with the question of Messiah's humiliation, which was a stumbling block for the Jews. He demonstrates that Christ's incarnation and substitutionary death were essential to God's plan of salvation. The Son of God had to become man in order to die for sinners before being exalted to highest heaven. "We see Jesus," he says, "who was made a little lower than the angels, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone, now crowned with glory and honor, because of the death he suffered. The captain of our salvation became, through suffering, the perfect Savior, who is bringing many sons to glory. By him they have been made holy, and have become sons of the same Father, so that Christ is not ashamed to call them brothers. To achieve this, he had to share their human nature, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who are held in bondage to the fear of death. He had to become like his brothers in order to be their faithful and merciful high priest before God, to make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered and was tempted, he is able to help those who are tempted." Next episode, the Epistle to the Hebrews continued.